Welcome to the ITU AI for Good conference in Geneva. We are live here talking to some amazing, interesting people. We have a fantastic guest with us today, Eric Klob. Eric is the head of Global Regulatory Affairs, Executive Vice President for Regulatory Affairs for Salesforce. He's had a tremendous career before that, managing global external relations, regulatory relations with AT&T. And we're going to get a good perspective from him in terms of AI policy, AI regulation, AI for good, since we are at the AI for Good conference. Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast, Eric.
Great. Sanjay, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you today. Glad that we could get together and talk.
Thank you. Eric, you've seen several evolutions of technology happen. Not that I'm trying to age you, but or you read about them. Cloud computing, and mobile and others. And at least in cloud and telecommunications, you are actively involved on the policy regulatory side. How does this seem compared to them, and is it different than them?
Well, I will self-age myself, gladly.
I'm not doing that.
And it's actually appropriate, given a bit of what you described about what my background was and what's going on mm-hmm. in parallel to the ITU AI mm-hmm. for Good, and that's the WSIS Plus 20 Summit,
right?
Which between 2003, 2005, the original World Summit for the Information Society, mm-hmm. Really important landmark event, and at a very prescient and early time, mm-hmm. established the concept of the importance of the multi-stakeholder approach mm-hmm. for policymaking.
Right.
And it was a little bit radical and hard fought within mm-hmm. multilateral institutions, which, are government-led. Mm-hmm. And, so just reflect for a moment here as we look at WSIS Plus 20 mm-hmm. and how in the multilateral institutions, it is taken as an absolute acknowledged fact mm-hmm. that we need a multi-stakeholder approach mm-hmm. for working through the policy implications with AI for society. We need to have industry and government and civil mm-hmm. society and academia together. Mm-hmm. So I do reflect on that for mm-hmm. for a moment of what was so really pushing the edge mm-hmm. of the concept of policymaking is just absolutely accepted and absolutely necessary for AI. Mm-hmm. Just really quickly, though, before we go into other things, says just a bit of background.
Sure.
As he said, I'm really honored to lead the Global Government Affairs team at Salesforce. We're extraordinarily active with AI. We have been for over 10 years mm-hmm. doing some of the very early work on research around predictive AI. Our teams have been working intensively on generative. I think we really have been at the leading edge of agentic mm-hmm. AI, which we can talk about. But as you say, I came into this part of the technology field after about 20 years working in international telecommunications. So I've been involved working around the world on things that are heavily regulated, things that are going through policy transition to more oversight. Mm-hmm. And so I just find this to be a very interesting and important time mm-hmm. To be working on these issues. So
very interesting, important time. Eric, your company is a global company like so many others. In the EU, we have the EU AI Act. In the US, we're not going to have a comprehensive AI Act because that's just not going to happen. We're going to have different states. We had a bill that got killed in the, the big, beautiful bill where you would have a moratorium on states. And then different countries, etc. Is there a need for harmonization of some of these things, especially when you look at smaller companies who have to deal with all these different policies? How do you look at it from just across the board, some kind of a convergence on rules, regulations, policies?
Yeah, I'll get at it from a couple of angles. Mm-hmm. And of course, harmonization, interoperability mm-hmm. of policy frameworks, even when they are going to have some differentiation based on the needs and requirements of a country, having mm-hmm. that lattice of harmonization and interoperability, it's a very good thing. And I'll come back to that. But before that, I really want to emphasize an important point throughout right-sizing policy and regulation for AI. That is, not with AI or other technologies, they're not monolithic. Mm-hmm. right? So you want to make sure you're solving the right problem with the right framework.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, so Salesforce is an enterprise AI company.
Right.
Not a consumer AI company. Mm-hmm. And there's something important about being an enterprise AI company, and that is you hear very clearly from your enterprise customers what mm-hmm. their requirements are to have the level of trust mm-hmm. and confidence mm-hmm. to use your services,
mm-hmm.
because their use of your services has an impact on their reputation and their mm-hmm. relationship with their customers. Mm-hmm. So many of the things that are under consideration or debate in a regulatory context
mm-hmm.
are things that enterprise customers say, that's table stakes for me to use your product. Mm-hmm. So whether it's accuracy, elimination of toxicity, mm-hmm. auditability, obviously privacy, mm-hmm. security,
mm-hmm.
issues like this are kind of baked in mm-hmm. to product development from day zero.
Right.
When you're in an enterprise space.
Sure.
That becomes relevant around the world mm-hmm. because there's just this base level of right. trust and responsibility and safety
mm-hmm.
that needs to come into the product,
mm-hmm.
Regardless of how far along the policymaking or the regulation is in this mm-hmm. jurisdiction versus this jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's for sure a lot to navigate, but I'm pretty proud that we set the bar rather high
mm-hmm.
on, you know, trust just out of the gate.
Of course. So obviously, as you said, those are table stakes for going in, some basic stuff that happens at the enterprise level. Eric, Salesforce has been a pioneer, or it's really been a leader in agentic AI. You know, you look at Agentforce, and these are tools, or again, you probably can tell our listeners, where there is an autonomous capability of these agents to act on their own with certain goals and missions. Is there a need for governance principles, policies, regulations for, and I'm not talking about Salesforce, but just at a general level, since Salesforce really has been a kind of a pioneer for agents or agentic AI or whatever term that people want to use, because you're going to have now a digital workforce. You're going to have digital agents or whatever the term is. And in some cases, agents managing agents or agents interacting with agents. So what does that all mean? Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, a couple layers. There are probably more than a couple layers
yes.
to this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we can unpack this a lot. Mm-hmm. But I do want to start with the first layer, and that is our vision mm-hmm. of this. And from a Salesforce standpoint, it is absolutely humans and agents working together. It is
okay.
about humans at the center and augmentation of the human work and the human task
mm-hmm.
with an agent.
Okay.
And we do not foresee a replacement or an elimination. We mm-hmm. see a change in the distribution
mm-hmm.
of what humans will be doing,
mm-hmm.
but that judgment and that oversight,
mm-hmm.
We don't see that going away.
Okay.
And we're not seeing that with our customers or use cases. We're seeing incredible augmentation
mm-hmm.
across whatever industry, and we work with every industry,
mm-hmm.
and across the different functions
mm-hmm.
within each company.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage every function to think about what of the daily tasks that you do could be augmented, mm-hmm. could be improved
mm-hmm.
using agentic technology so that you can focus on the activity that is
mm-hmm.
inherently human and higher level. So that's part of it. We can come back to that. But governance is absolutely important. And so whether it is the fundamental governance of design, the guardrails that you put in place for an agent, in many ways, as you establish an agent, you build it, it's like creating a job description. You're
mm-hmm.
saying, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do, this is the data you may access, this is the data you may not access. So even at the development level, there's governance to it. But beyond that, there's a lot of merit to having governance, whether it's some of the policy frameworks that we have seen developed and iterated on, the work that's going on with EU AI Act or in the G7, Hiroshima AI process. These are iterative developments on what are some fundamental guardrails and important areas that are giving people an understanding of what responsible and confidence-building AI looks like.
So, Eric, just to go a little, as you said, there are several layers in this. You think that it is really a company's or an enterprise's internal policy, governance rules that should be dealing with this. Maybe it's the HR department. As you said, there is a job description that, you know, just like an employee does, that that's what it should be, right?
Well, I'm not saying that a model of pure self-regulation and just saying, just trust us.
Sure.
We'll take care of this. Okay. I think, though, it is very important for every company to have a vision of what is your set of values.
Okay.
What are your responsibilities? What is the right thing to do? And have some sense of your North Star on that. Because if you just wait until there are regulations or there's been a catastrophe and then you have to undo all these things that you never thought about doing in the correct way in the first place, you're probably not going to be successful in the long run. So my advice after, nearly 30 years of working in technology and technology policy and being part of so many evolutions of technology come along is think it through at the outset. And there are certain things that are appropriate for you to govern and not wait to be told to do that correct thing. There are things, as I said, in the enterprise space where your customers are going to be very clear about what you have to do. And then there is an important role in this multi-stakeholder process for there to be inputs coming from stakeholder groups, government being one, about what the boundaries of responsibility and expectations are.
Because, that's a good feedback. Because I have a lot of members of Congress, Senate, governors that come on our show, even European members of parliament and others. And this is one of the key topics that keeps getting brought up to us. So just to follow that process, Eric, what are your thoughts? Where should liability lie? Is it on the, if let's say there is a issue or a challenge with an AI system, is it with the foundation developer, the implementer, or the user?
So this is one of the fascinating things about AI, because there are so many parts of the value chain.
Right.
And there are so many different use cases and so many different applications. So again, tech is not monolithic.
Right.
There is no one size fits all answer that gets at all the nuance. First of all, I think that what's going to emerge are different variations of shared responsibility models, depending on what you're doing.
Right.
There are important differences in the responsibility of a developer, of an integrator. Like what Salesforce does is works with the develop model and works with the deployer and helps bring those things together, and with the deployer, the user, right?
Right.
So what I do expect is going to evolve is quite a lot of nuance to say that each party has a set of particular responsibilities depending on what they are doing in the value chain. And you can neither just throw it all over the fence to the other person, can you actually take full responsibility for things that others may do with technology entirely on their own in their adaptation and use of it. So I do see it developing in that kind of framework.
So shared responsibility, and it's going to be developing over a period of time, Eric, is what you're saying.
And evolving.
Evolving.
Just think about, even in less than 4 years, how far we have come from the conversations we were having about predictive AI to generative AI, and then over the last year, agentic AI. This is all so fast. And next, of course, we're going to have robotic AI that is taking into and incorporating the generative and the agentic. So yeah, we need dynamism in this.
Following up on the point of dynamism, the changes that are happening, the question I get a lot of times from members of Congress, Senate, and around the world is, this technology is moving so fast. If you create a policy framework today, how does that policy framework keep up what's going to happen in 6 months, 12 months, et cetera? Eric, you've dealt with this for a long period of time in different technologies. Any suggestions or guidance for some of these policymakers? Because this is a question they ask me all the time.
Yeah.
They say, hey, we might craft some bill or something now. Today you're multimodal. You talk about robotics tomorrow, which could have different implications. How do we do that?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I always differentiate in conversations between policymaking and regulating. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, regulating is something very specific, and it, and by the way, I don't think regulation is a bad word. I've seen a lot of amazing instances where regulation, well done, can stand the test of time, increase consumer confidence, actually grow your market because people have confidence to use those digital services. But, you know, policymaking is a higher level of abstraction that really sets your more or less strategic foundation of what's important and gives some adaptability. One of the things that I am, in fact, a big fan of is risk-based frameworks like the NIST work, NIST. Whether it was in the cybersecurity framework or the AI risk management framework. And the reason for that is because it is highly adaptable to what someone is doing in the value chain. So it's not a check-the-box regulation where it's a, you shall do this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Where, well, they check the box. Did they do it particularly well? Maybe, maybe not. Are those boxes even relevant next year? Maybe, maybe not. But something like those, you know, a scientific approach to policymaking, as NIST does, takes into account really a matrix of factors, right?
Yeah.
And then someone can use a degree of discretion to say, for my entity, based on what specifically we do, this is the right remediation for that risk. And as the technology changes, the risk changes and the remediation changes. So I think that more than ever, given the speed of technology change, risk management frameworks of that type are really important and have a lot of merit.
So risk-based frameworks would be pretty helpful here. Eric, in terms of, you know, when you look at the EU AI Act, it's a, you know, it goes across. Some folks say we should have more industry-specific policies, et cetera. What are your thoughts on whether there should be across-the-board policy or industry-specific policy?
Again, it's probably a combination of both. I expect that there are certain horizontal concepts that lead to interoperability, right, and harmonization across the world. Things like the taxonomy, what are your definitions, what are the different use cases and layers of the AI value chain. There are a lot of things there where there's a lot of merit to make it consistent, ideally consistent across a country, consistent across many countries. And then there are going to be some specific applications that, well, you know, the expertise on the banking sector, the automotive sector, the health and life sciences sector, the expertise and the needs may be very particular to the problem that you're trying to address. And the people with the expertise who really know the right question to ask and say, this is the problem we are trying to solve. If it's a problem that you're trying to solve in health and life sciences, you may not want someone who does automotive oversight to be creating the expectations for that. So, like I said, I think that there are certain things where there's great benefit of horizontal consistency and certain things where, again, what is the correct risk for that particular issue? And let's address it with nuance.
That's true. It's a combination. Eric, Jensen Huang of NVIDIA has been talking a lot about sovereign AI and countries in the global south. You're a global company, but let's just say countries in the global south also believe that they want to be in the mix, whether it's, well, I don't know about countries in the Gulf, whether they are in the global south or not, but you know, even countries like India and many others are wanting to be part of this because, you know, it impacts workforce, national security, all of those. When you look at globally Salesforce and across the board, what do you see? I mean, there seems to be a lot of vibrancy around the world for things like that, whether you're a small country, big country, you're UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, many, many countries, South Korea, etc. Are you seeing that interest, desire that we want to be part of this transformation?
Absolutely. I mean, yes. Every place I travel, and I travel to a lot of places, yes, see the opportunity and the strategic importance of AI. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of important things. And one thing that is exciting me, and we have customers all over the world, yes, all from small enterprises to the largest enterprises, the benefits that can come from this, I think some of the most exciting things will be with the smaller enterprises because of that augmentation and efficiency, mm-hmm, of being able to do things. But the thing about AI and the reason why there's a lot of benefit from what may not be LLMs, they may be small language models or very, mm-hmm, specific things, the quality of your output is dependent on the quality of the data, mm-hmm, right? So among the reasons why many different markets have an interest to understand what kind of model are they creating is something that is obviously created in a context that is not the language or culture or nuance of that market may not result in a product that is reliable and usable. Mm-hmm. So there, I believe that there is a lot of opportunity, mm-hmm, for markets to create something, mm-hmm, that is going to be reliable, trustworthy for the citizens there. At the same time, of course, as with all technology, there's benefits of scale,
yeah,
and the difference of efficiencies and cost structure and everything, mm-hmm, else. So, as with other things that I've said, it's going to be a mix.
Yeah. Eric, as we started before, that you've seen a lot of different transformations. Does this feel different than the ones before for you?
Faster.
How? Faster. Tell our listeners with your vast experience.
Yeah. Well, two things. I would say that the policy and political interest in AI, mm-hmm, was more uniform and rapid, mm-hmm, than anything I've seen in, mm-hmm, my career, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to late 2023, early 2024, yeah, the speed with which the interest in generative AI, mm-hmm, became not just a technology policy question, but a top-level political question, mm-hmm, was really amazing.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen anything quite like that. The other thing that I have found really interesting, mm-hmm, over the last 3 years, mm-hmm, has been, given that global interest, mm-hmm, the willingness to iterate on different policy ideas, mm-hmm, rather than trying to take an approach of saying, we're not going to do anything until we can do everything,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right?
Sometimes you have seen, and I've seen it in negotiations that I've been involved in UN, mm-hmm, institutions, that you try to negotiate and complete a multilateral omnibus solution to a challenging problem, mm-hmm, that can take decades. And what we have seen with the policymaking over the last 3 years is a recognition this is moving fast. We can't solve it all, but let's take this set of issues that we can agree on and then build on it, learn from others. And, mm-hmm, so there is an agility that I am seeing, and that's one thing. And then the second thing, just to come back to where I started in our conversation, it is taken for granted that this is a multi-stakeholder process. out of the gate, mm-hmm. everybody is understanding mm-hmm. Government can't do this without private sector. Mm-hmm. Private sector can't get it right without having feedback loops with civil society.
Right.
So all of that is very different from when I had worked on many of the issues as mm-hmm. mobile was taking a much higher importance, or the early days of the internet, and of course of the underlying telecommunications infrastructure and spectrum issues as well. So very different, but building on the learnings of the prior technology generations.
Yeah. But good different.
I think so.
Good different.
Yeah, I do think so.
For our audience to have that optimistic view. Eric, tell our audience, what's the vision for Salesforce moving forward for the next few years? I mean, you've got a lot going on, but I'm sure there's a lot more than what we even know. And not, I mean, in terms of overall, if there's something that you want to tell our audience a little bit about.
It's an exciting, dynamic time. We're just scratching the surface of what is possible. We're very focused right now on what agentic AI can do, mm-hmm. and really learning every day and working with our customers, taking a lot of inspiration, working across every industry, mm-hmm. every part of every company, and mm-hmm. seeing how this technology can make a difference. Where we are going to keep very focused is on doing this in a values-led way. I mean, that is very core to what Salesforce has always done. We always have led with our values of trust, customer success, innovation, sustainability, equality, and we're going to keep doing that as we work on these rapid changes over the upcoming years. And anyone who says they can look in the crystal ball and know where we're going to be 5 years from now, I'm not so sure about that. So I think you just have to, you know, look to the future, embrace where you are, and just keep engaging with people intensively to learn and do things with responsibility and safety. I do not believe, the company does not believe, that there's incongruity between responsibility, safety, innovation, and success. You to have a long-term perspective, you need to be doing all of those.
And those are great words. Doing all of those, safety, responsibility, innovation, it's not mutually exclusive, Eric. So thank you so much for such fantastic insight about the transformation that's happening, about policy, regulation, standards, what's happening in agentic AI. This has been a great conversation, and I hope you have a great time at the AI for Good conference, and hope we can have you back maybe when you're in D.C., and as they say, may the force be with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Sanjay. This has been a pleasure. Great talk with you. Look forward to doing so again soon.
Thank you so much, Eric. Such a pleasure. Thank you.